Hi, I'm Marion McPartland. My guests today on Piano Jazz are Marilyn and Alan Bergman, two of the most celebrated lyricists and songwriters in the world of popular music. They've won more awards and accolades than one can possibly imagine. They've collaborated with a myriad of composers to produce some of the most beautiful songs around today. And now here we are in California, practically in your own backyard.
That's true.
And it's just great to see you. Just great.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
And, you know, I've thought about doing this show for such a long time and millions of questions to ask you. In fact, I just don't know where to start. How long have you been writing?
Oh, you're really starting at the beginning.
I just thought that was a good, I've got to start somewhere.
That's a good place.
I could go further back and say you were born in the same hospital.
That's true, too.
That's true.
You know, but thinking...
many years apart.
Chivalry, thy name is Alan.
but we've been writing together for 38 years now.
Wow.
Is it really?
Yeah.
My goodness.
Married 37, but we've been working together for 38. Anyway.
Well, it's sort of interesting to think, how did people meet to come and do such a wonderful collaboration? I mean, did you write before either of you?
Yeah, we did. We were introduced by a composer named Lou Spence, songwriter. I was working with him in the afternoon. Alan was working with him in the morning. I slept late. And one day he decided to introduce his morning lyric writer to his afternoon lyric writer. And that day the three of us started playing songs for each other, songs that I was writing with Lou and songs that Alan was writing with Lou. And a collaboration just happened that day. And the three of us then worked together for a couple of years.
Yeah. I saw in your book at least one song by Lou Spence. I can't think the name of it. Is it which one it is?
Nice and Easy.
Oh! I told you I was ignorant, but well, should we do it? What do
well,
you think?
Why not? Let's do it.
And I'll see if I can kind of play between the cracks or something.
I'll see if I can play with not in the cracks. Take it nice and easy. It's gonna be so easy for us to fall in love. Hey, baby, what's your hurry? Relax, don't you worry. We're gonna fall in love. We're on the road to romance, that's safe to say, but let's make all the stops along the way. The problem now, of course, is to simply hold your horses.
So, I mean, you started your collaboration with a hit song right away. Did it?
No.
Well, what happened?
We started our collaboration with about a year of very fallow ground. And then one day, one of Sinatra's people came to us. They had heard some of the songs that they'd been rejecting all year long, right? They came to us and asked us if we would join the contest in contributing a song for a Sinatra album of lightly swinging love songs. And we wrote the song that you just did, Nice and Easy.
So yeah. By that time, yeah. I'm trying to sort of think, had you got into your Michel Legrand
period?
That's much later.
Yeah, we met Michel on the tennis court. Gene Kelly was playing tennis at Richard Brooks, a wonderful writer-director, who's not with us anymore. He had tennis every Saturday and Sunday at his house, and I played tennis, and Michelle came, and we met. And Marilyn and I and Quincy Jones were working on a picture called In the Heat of the Night. in those.
Oh, yeah, and you wrote that theme?
Yes.
My goodness.
And in...
I love to watch that show.
And Michelle had never met Ray Charles. And we were recording the song In the Heat of the Night with Ray a few days later, you know. So he came down, and he was all excited. He is very enthusiastic. And then the next picture was directed by the same man, Norma Jewison, who had directed In the Heat of the Night. He directed the Thomas Crown Affair and asked us to write some songs with Michelle for that picture. And that song, which was the first song we ever wrote with Michelle, was The Windmills of Your Mind, and it won the Academy Award. And we've been writing a lot of songs. Yeah.
It's an amazing song. I mean, it has that sort of psychological feeling, like it goes on and on and on.
Well,
I mean, it must have had a lot to do with the movie. I didn't see the movie.
Yeah, no,
it's an interesting comment.
It's interesting because the assignment, as posed by Norman Jewison, the director, was to write a kind of mind trip song. You know how directors put temp tracks in movies to indicate to composers what they feel and what they hear the score to come. He had put in Strawberry Fields in that sequence. It was a glider sequence with Steve McQueen flying a glider. And he had put that in. He said, I don't mean this song. He said, I don't know why. There's something about this song that's right. Maybe because it has a kind of restless, anxious feeling. So we tried to put ourselves in the frame of mind of that feeling that you have when you can't stop your mind from going, when you're trying to fall asleep at night, and to make it a blank and just think of nothing. And the more you try to think of nothing, the more fragments and thoughts haunt you.
And the way that thing builds, and I mean, it's almost scary.
It's a wonderful tune. And of course, the way we work with Michelle, the way Michelle works. At that time, his English is much better now, but at that time he had not spent much time in this country, and he was just learning English. And I think the day he said to us, I think I have to talk to my manager about this, we realized that maybe we couldn't give him a lyric to set, that it would, he meant manager, of course, that it would come out sounding like a Calypso song, and we had already done that album a few years before. So we always set our lyrics to Michelle's music.
I was going to ask you that. In other words,
he writes music first. Of course, we're flexible if we need some adjustments or changes or extensions or deletions or whatever, we then work it out. But by and large, we try and write what he's written because the melodies come out full blown, you know. Yeah.
For that spot in the picture, he had written maybe five or six melodies, you know. And
seven or eight.
Yeah. When we were working on this picture, it was called A Happy Ending. He was living with us. And he came upstairs, downstairs, and, well, we have the good piano. And he said, I have some melodies to play for you. And he played us three or four beautiful melodies, but they all were not really right for this spot. And then one of us said, we never remember who, said, what happens if the first line of the song is, what are you doing the rest of your life? And he said, I like that. And luckily, the tape machine was on the piano. And he clicked it on. And however long it takes to play that song, that's how long it took him to write it.
It's funny, there's another question I was going to ask you about some things just falling together and other things taking forever.
He played it. And he said, when he got through, he said, you mean something like that? We said, exactly. Now go to the movies. Go somewhere. Leave us alone for a while. And
well, let's do the song. Let everybody hear what we were talking about.
Okay. What are you doing the rest of your life? North and south and east and west of your life. I have only one
request of your life that you spend it all with me. All the seasons and the times of your days, all the nickels and the dimes of your days, let the reasons and the rhymes of your days all begin and end with me. I want to see your face in every kind of light, in fields of dawn and forests of the night.
That's great. Well, I guess after that, I mean, I know you've worked with a lot of people, but did you just continue working mostly with Michelle? I mean, did other things, did they come easily after that? Laughing.
But
easily. The chemistry between lyric writers and composers, it's like a marriage, I guess, you know, a love affair. There's certain times it works and certain times it doesn't work, and there's no telling why. You know?
Well, then are you able to say to him, you know, like, can't you change this?
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah.
Or can't
you
change the melody or do something to make it work?
Yeah, I mean, there's such shorthand between us, you know, like there is shorthand between Alan and I, as you can imagine. But also, I think the most important thing is the kind of respect that and trust that collaborators have for each other, so that if we make suggestions or take the role of an editor at a particular time, it's always received gratefully and not as criticism, and
of course
the other party is always able to say, no, that's a terrible idea, and we'll say, okay, fine, you're right, you know, or not. But no, it's there is a chemistry between Alan and Michelle and I, there's no question, that is very special. We have it with several composers
Dave Grusin, for instance,
and with Marvin Hamlisch as well.
Marvin.
Oh, wait a minute, he wrote The Way We Were, didn't he?
Marvin did, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And Johnny Mandel.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
But now, how about between you and Alan? I mean, I probably shouldn't even ask, but I mean, do you fight or say, or not speak or get mad or anything like that?
No, none of that.
We disagree, and you find out the more you write that the alternatives are endless, that if we're both not satisfied, we go on to find other ways to solve the problem.
Well, do you have, like, discipline, like certain working hours, or do you just go at it when you feel like it?
Oh, no.
Can't go at it when you feel like it.
No, you got to keep the motor running.
Yeah,
you know?
Who was it that talked about any kind of creation being 10% inspiration and 90% perspiration? You certainly know that very well.
Yeah.
Any disciplined, creative person knows that. And no, I mean, a writer writes every day, even if it's just a little bit, to keep the chops going,
you know, when you talk about lyric writing, we're very lucky that we both had mentors.
Oh, yeah. I was wondering who you liked yourselves years ago.
Well, I was very lucky. When I went to graduate school out here, I met Johnny Mercer.
And, well.
Oh, well, indeed. And he kind of took a liking to me, and he would spend a great deal of time over a period of 3 years. In those days, I was writing both music and lyrics, and he liked the way I sang a lot. So we used to sing together. And
what fun.
Yeah, he was a great singer, as you know. And he would take me down to his beach house, and I would spend the weekend playing and singing what I had been writing, you know, and he would critique it and say, this is terrible, this is wonderful, and so on. And he did that for almost 3 years, which was, you know, invaluable. And Marilyn had...
I had a similar kind of relationship with a wonderful lyric writer named Bob Russell.
Of course I know Bob Russell.
Johnny were very good friends. I like to think that they're doing something up there together. And he was really my first experience with songwriting. And he taught me and he encouraged me. And I owe a lot to him. He was a wonderful writer.
Oh, well, I'm having just a great time here talking to my friends, great lyricists, Alan and Marilyn Bergman. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz. Well, I'm just looking at other songs and thinking how nice to do another of your things. It's The Summer Nose.
Oh, now, yes,
is that from a movie?
Yes.
Summer of 42.
Right.
Beautiful score by Mitch Shelf, which he wrote. He won the Academy Award.
You know, I don't even mention things you've won because, I mean, I've lost count. There's so many of them.
Right. Well,
Academy Awards, Emmys, medals.
The important thing to remember, Alan has always said this, that the work is the same the night before as it is the morning after, and the awards are nice, but they don't really validate anything that is not worthy of being validated or exalt anything that, you know. But
you know what? It's the fun is in the doing of it. What happens after that is,
well, because you have no control over what happens afterwards, so you better enjoy it while the audience is you and Alan, me and Alan, and the creator. You know, that's the composer.
We're very lucky that we write out of joy and love and not pain. So you know.
That is great, boy. That's quite a statement.
Yeah.
Well, out of joy and love, I'd like to play this.
Please.
Would you please?
The Summer Nose.
Yes, I'd love it.
I guess I really never saw the music to this. Somehow I think I learned it when we were at the Hickory House. Was this in the 50s or 60s?
No, this was in the 70s.
Is it? 70s. Early 70s, mid-70s, something like that, I would think.
I lose track of when they were written, you know, I just play them.
And how?
What key, is there? I don't even know what key to play this in. Let's see.
Pick one.
All right.
To hear the full broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station or stream the program online. You'll find a link on our website, pianojazz.npr.org. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV Radio. This episode was made possible by a grant from Exxon Corporation. Digital restoration was made possible by Save America's Treasures through a partnership between the National Endowment for the Arts and the National Park Service, Department of the Interior.